This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, February 6th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today. Later-onset forms of spinal muscular atrophy are linked to extensive atrophy in the cervical spinal cord, particularly in gray matter of the vertebrae, that may begin long before symptoms are evident, researchers report. The study, The Spinal and Cerebral Profile of Adult Spinal Muscular Atrophy, a multi-model imaging study, was published in NeuroImage Clinical. SMA can be defined as a genetic neurodegenerative disorder characterized by the gradual loss of motor neurons, the nerve cells responsible for controlling voluntary muscles, in the spinal cord and by muscular weakness. It is divided into subtypes, ranging from type 0 to type 4, depending on the age of disease onset and symptom severity. SMA type 3 and 4 are slowly progressing forms that usually affect lower motor neurons, or what researchers call LMNs, those that run from the spinal cord to the muscles. But studies in animal models have suggested that both disease forms may affect more than LMNs and include the central nervous system. Researchers characterized the extent of spinal cord and brain lesions in type 3 and 4 adults using multi-model quantitative imaging, a technique that involves anatomy details acquired with two different image modalities, like CT scans and MRIs, or PET scans, to provide complementary information about what is visualized. A total of 25 patients, 19 diagnosed with SMA type 3 and 6 with SMA type 4. 18 of these patients were considered ambulatory and 7 were considered non-ambulatory, and 25 sex and age-matched healthy controls were evaluated. Analysis included structural measures of gray and white matter volume and white matter integrity of the spinal cord and cortical thickness, and gray matter density and white matter alterations in the brain. Gray matter refers to areas of the central nervous system, the brain, brainstem, and cerebellum, made up of neuron cell bodies, while white matter refers to areas of the central nervous system made up of myelinated nerve segments called axons, which are responsible for the transmission of nerve signals and that connect various gray matter areas. Researchers observed a substantial reduction of gray matter volume in the spinal cord between cervical vertebrae C3 and C5 in SMA patients compared to healthy controls. No significant differences in white matter volume were found between the two groups. Imaging analysis of the brain, however, revealed an increase in gray matter density in regions associated with motor control, which the researchers suggested could be explained as a compensatory mechanism as a consequence of progressive LMN degeneration. As in the spinal cord, no significant changes in brain white matter were found. Spinal atrophy seems to be primarily driven by gray matter degeneration. Despite sample size limitations, our findings suggest that mechanisms underlying motor neuron degeneration in SMA are different from those taking place in other motor neuron diseases, such as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, otherwise known as ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. Researchers concluded their comments with the following. The characterization of SMA associated spinal and cerebral pathology and the development of disease-specific biomarkers are particularly timely given the emergence of effective disease-modifying therapies and promising pharmacological trials in SMA. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, February 5th, 2019. If someone asks me to speak in front of hundreds of people, I say no problem. Stick a needle in my neck for a Spinraza injection, and it's no big deal. When it comes to traveling across the country for an SMA conference or a comic book convention, I'm ready to roll anytime. I can handle all of these things and more without any issues. Yet, there is one thing that always brings with it an adequate amount of stress and anxiety: training a new caregiver. Though Randy is my primary caregiver and is always with me on weekdays, I've been trying to find someone to work Saturday mornings for almost 2 years. After a couple of my former assistants left to join the military and go to grad school, respectively, I had to try to fill their positions. To say that this search has been a fiasco would be an understatement. I've contacted caregiving agencies that seemed great, but were always understaffed and could never fill my designated time slot. I've also hired people who either showed up a couple times and then left without explanation, or who never showed up at all. I firmly believe that people with disabilities are capable of living healthy, independent lifestyles, and I put that mentality into practice every day. Still, the act of pursuing independence is often complicated and downright exhausting. Last Thursday, I took time out of my workday to do things like contact my case manager from a caregiving agency I'm now working with, contact another person from the agency to give them my payment information, schedule physical therapy appointments for the next few months, and coordinate rides for going out with friends. Having independence is a wonderful thing, but it comes at a cost. Beyond the search for a good agency, the paperwork, and the financial aspects of hiring a caregiver, actually training them adds another level of stress. Imagine for a moment that the first time you meet someone, you're lying in bed undressed and they have to get you up and ready for the day. It goes something like this. Hey, nice to meet you. So yeah, if you could roll me on my back first and then help me get my sling for my ceiling lift tucked underneath my back and hips. We'll transfer me to my wheelchair first and then I'll drive out to the bathroom to get showered. This scenario is definitely not awkward in the least. Having SMA is one thing, but having SMA and an independent lifestyle requires many characteristics and skills. For me to achieve the independence that I desire, I have to be communicative, vulnerable, patient, resourceful, diligent, and willing to sacrifice my time and money. When it comes to hiring and managing caregivers, coordinating schedules for caregivers and medical appointments, and managing my finances and resources, being an adult with SMA is a full-time job. When I recently saw the new film The Upside, I couldn't help but laugh at how the main character is a quadriplegic with an infinite amount of wealth and resources. Philip LaCosse's ability to pay for around-the-clock care without any problem is a fantasy for most of us with SMA and other disabilities, as is his multi-million dollar mansion. Heck, his physical therapist even makes home visits. As I write this, I am beyond grateful for the resources I do have, and for the independence I've acquired in recent years. Still, I'd be lying if I said that the things I have to do to live more independently and make things easier for my parents didn't wear me out. The time I spend emailing people, contacting agencies, and training caregivers, all while working a full-time job, is exhausting. Having this kind of independence is also expensive. Is it worth it, though? Absolutely. In spite of the sacrifices I have to make to be more independent, I have a great quality of life. I'm happier and I'm in a much better place than I was before I had caregivers, and I look forward to seeing what's in store for me in the future. Be sure to follow SMA News Today for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found by going to our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director.